Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your bountiful blessings, for your logistical grace. We don't ever want to take them for granted. We recognize they all come from your grace, and we commemorate that grace now in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We have several announcements this morning. First of all, Dr. Bob had a mini stroke yesterday and went to the hospital. I understand that he's... is he going to be able to go home today? Do you know, John? Maybe tomorrow. I don't know what the repercussions are, but you want to keep him in your prayers. Also, the duplicator machine broke, and that's one reason we don't have the CDs and DVDs back in the library. Waiting for a part to come in, and it will be ready, what, George, in about a week maybe? Hopefully? Maybe the beginning of this week. Okay. Also, next week there will be no Bible class. I'm going to be out of town, out of state. And Pastor Taylor Williams is going to fill in for me next Sunday. Y'all may remember him. He filled in not too long ago. And so I hope that y'all will be here to listen to his message. I think that that's all. If it's not, I'm sure somebody will remind me. So let's prepare ourselves this morning in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer. The option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness as we continue to see the world ignore you and your mighty word. We see our society spiraling further down into degeneracy. It appears that people have no hope when really they do. They just don't know that they do. They're not interested in your word. Many of them are not even open to the gospel. We recognize that you have a plan for us. We are here for a purpose. And we can't achieve that purpose apart from knowing your word and applying your word. So we pray that you will help us to focus this morning so that we will be able to grow in grace and knowledge. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to do something that I've been wanting to do for several months. And that is, I was for the first time able to, well, Ken was able to get online for the first time in, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months, something like that. I don't know if you're aware of it. We have one of these hotspots. It's right here in front of me. And that picks up the internet. And it picks up the internet anywhere in this church except here. I don't know how we finally were able to do it. Ken could probably tell you. But I'm going to put our website up on the board, and I'm going to show y'all how to use it. I'm surprised how many people just know one thing to do on the website, have no idea what all is there. So if you want to take notes, that's fine, so you can remember. George, I want you to turn off all the lights. Yeah, all of them. So they can see. Now, this might be short and sweet because we've never done this before. This is what our website looks like, in case none of you have seen it before. We're very proud of this website. It's been developing over several years. And we'll just look. This is the home page, which automatically comes up. This gives information, you know, address and our times and so forth. The first thing I want you to see is this red button right here. You see that? Now, that is a tempting button, is it not? If I saw that button on a dashboard, I would have to push it just to see what happens. That's why it's on there, for those who are curious. I don't know if you can read this, but it says, where will you spend eternity? Do you know? If you're not certain but would like to know for sure, click this button. Now, how could anybody resist that? Anyway, you click that button and there's gives people the gospel. So if you are out and about and you really don't have time to give someone the gospel, like if you're going through a line at some store or whatever it may be, you can at least tell them what our website is, or better yet, we have cards. These are church cards right here. You should have them in your purse or in your wallet, and you should be giving them out as if your business depended on it. If this was your own personal business card, I'm sure you'd be doing it. So instead of telling them and they'll forget it before you walk away, give them the card. The website is on the bottom. Just in case you don't know what our website is, it's simply countrybiblechurch.us. That simple. And these days, you don't even have to put www in front of it. All you have to do is up in this search engine up here, put countrybiblechurch.us, and bam, it'll take you to right here. Are y'all with me? Okay. Over here is the right-hand column. This just gives some information about what our church is like. And this is a website notice. For about 2 or 3 months, our current series have been down. They haven't been being updated. That has been remedied now, and they're just about back up to speed. But first of all, you have over on the right-hand column information. This is about us if they want to know where we're located and our times and something about me, whatever it may be, it's there. Donations simply, you all know, is there is no money required for anything around here. And if people are motivated to give, they're free to do it. But nobody is ever, ever done for money. Next thing is podcast. I have to admit, I don't know much about podcasts. But if you like the podcast, go there. Now, here's the current series. These are the series that I'm teaching currently. We have Joshua, which we're in today. Getting the Gospel Right is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Audio specials, this would be like Christmas, Thanksgiving, maybe Father's Day, and so forth. And Pastor Namath Otuko's radio from Africa. We support Pastor Namath from Kenya in Africa. And he's on the radio there, and I think he has about 10 of his messages on there. It makes it nice. You can hear them. But when he goes out and about to these different countries in Africa, they have a way of contacting him through our website. That's what that's for. Down lower, we have... Let's see. Are you going to scroll? There it goes. Okay. Down lower, we have previous series. These are some of the things that I've taught. You can see 1 Kings, 1 Peter, all of these things going down through here. And all you have to do is click on those, and it will bring up the notes. Now, the only thing that we have audio on now, I'm pretty sure about this, not completely, but all of these, you have audio and notes as well. I'll show you in just a moment. These, I think all of these just have the notes, and if you want the audio, then you go up here to where you order, the orders deal, you click at, and you can order CDs and DVDs from there. Over here are the publications, starting with Can You Tell, Have You Lost It? You can click on any of those publications, and it takes you right to what is in the booklets. So everything that we have in the library that is in print is also on the website right here. Okay? I think while I'm here, I will go to, just to give you an example, let's say you want to hear something from Joshua. So you just click on Joshua, and this comes up. Now, I know this is probably too small for y'all to see, but what this is showing you over here are the audios, and they're in 10 lesson increments, starting with 1 through 10. We're over here on lesson 91 through 100. Now, if you click on one of these, What it's going to do is bring up those 10 messages. And over here, you have a little... we don't want to do a survey. No, thank you. Not right now. If you'll stop, I'll click you. There. These are the options. You can listen to the audio. You can download it down on your computer, or you can look at the notes just by clicking here, and it will bring those up. And each one of these is a title. It tells you what each one of the lessons is about up here. It gives you the lesson number and the date. If you want to go to the next 10 lessons, you click here. The previous one's 10 there. I know I'm going kind of fast, but I won't. This is pretty standard stuff. Some of you have never done this, by the way. You can go back one. Let's say that you just want to look at the notes. You don't want to hear the audio. Then over here on the right, you have Joshua, all the chapters and the notes for each chapter. You click that and the notes come up. Okay. Now we go back to the home page. Here's the next thing is about us. I'm not going to click there because it gives you the map, times that we meet, just things about our church. There's also a doctrinal statement, and there's a little blurb about me, where I came from, how long I've been here, and just miscellaneous things. Then the next thing is Bible doctrines. Now, if you click on that, see when you click these up here, this is your menu bar. Then here are the doctrines, some of them, that in alphabetical order. And when you click on one of these, that doctrine will come up in the notes of that particular doctrine. And we go back to the home page. The next one is visuals. Now, I've done a lot of visuals. Not all of them are on here. But here are the different visuals. Now, some of them are red, some of them are green. The red ones are PowerPoint. And the other ones are just come out as looking like text. Let's go over here. I'll just click on circles to show you how this works. Hopefully how it works. There it is. So here is the visual with the circles. Probably most of you know about the circles. I've kind of refined it a bit and put a few extra things on here. That's how you access the visuals. You know, sometimes you can go on someone's website and just go to their visuals, and you can learn a lot of things just by going to the visuals. The next thing is orders. If you want to order, you click here. And this is your order form. And these are the different series. And you click here to open the order form, and you fill it out, and then you can send it in. We used to have it to where you could order just by not actually printing out the order form and filling out and sending it in. We decided to not do that anymore by just clicking on it on the internet and sending us on the email what they wanted, because a lot of people, oh, that sounds good, give me 10 of those. And they forget that they even ordered them, never look at them. If somebody's going to take the time to print an order form and fill it out, they really want the information. So that's how it's done now. Here's another thing that most of you maybe did not ever go to, is music. We have a music recorded here on the website. The first one is Bruce Dixon, I Can Only Imagine, and you just click here to listen to it. And we have the Dixon family, the singers, CBC congregation, that would be you. So if you want to hear what you sound like, you can go there. John Hare, Carrie and I, and just miscellaneous. Here's Mark Hollister. That's the music, if you want to have some music. And then podcasts. I'm not going to go to podcasts. I can't explain it because I don't know what it is. I know it. You get it on your device, I think, somehow. It comes that way. Now, here's an interesting one here, is contact. In other words, if there's anything that you want to say that's good, bad, or indifferent, if you have any questions, if something isn't working, you go on here to contact. You put your name, email address, and then give your message. And that's how we can make sure if something isn't working right, you let us know that it's not, and we can correct it. Otherwise, we think that all is well. And here, the next one is the one that's probably least used and is just nothing short, hardly, of being miraculous of what it does. This is the search button. When you click the search button, this comes up, and what it's doing is it's asking you, what do you want to find on the site? Let's say your friend is getting a divorce, and you want to find out some doctrinal information about a divorce. Well, you can go to the website, go to search, and right in this area right here, we type divorce. Divorce, and we hit search. Now, what happens here is it's already searched the entire website, and everywhere that it finds divorce, see, it's in bold right here. This is showing you the series it was in. All down through here, it's showing you all the times that we've studied divorce. There's three pages of these. You go to the second page or third page by clicking these. And any one of these you want to go to, this is hyperlinked. You just click on that button and it will take you right to that place when you're looking for that particular thing. Now, here's something else you need to remember. That's if you just put one word, you just type it. Now, if you have more than one word, you have to put in quotation marks. Let's put in here, spiritual gifts. And hit search. So you have to put quotation marks if it's more than one word. And there you have all the places in this on this website where you can find spiritual gifts. But you have to put it in quotation marks if there's more than one word. Right here is one of the visuals you could use there. Okay, and the last thing I was going to show you on this are the links. You click on links, and the links gives you places that you can go to that we would recommend or that would be helpful to you. On the left-hand column here, we have the different churches. Austin Bible Church, Baraka Church, Dean Bible Ministries, Grace Doctrine Church, Lost Pines, RB Theme Junior Ministries, Robert McLaughlin Ministries, West Houston Bible Church. Over here we have tools, Blue Letter Bible, Logos Online, YouVersion Online Bible. This is CBC Online Tools. I'm not sure what that is. It says testing. I wouldn't click on that yet if I was you. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's there. And then we have Basic Training Bible Ministry with Gene Cunningham, Berean Call, Bible Framework Series by Charlie Clough, Schaefer Theological Seminary, and Pre-Trib Research Center. So those, you can go to those and get more information. So that was a breakneck speed, a jot through our website to show you how to use it. And I think that people really aren't using it to the degree that they could. So any questions before we turn the lights back on and we're done with this? Okay, now will be a quiz. Turn the lights on, George. You know, I jest. But this is, we're very proud of this website, and you'd be surprised how many hits it gets from all over the world. Even in China, Saudi Arabia, places you would not even imagine. But I want you to be able to take advantage of it and use this bar up here, especially that search one. How many times are you dealing with an issue? And you think, boy, I wish I had some information on that right at my fingertips. Well, it's there. All you have to do is go to the website, click on search, type in whatever you want to find, and it will show you everywhere in that website where that occurs. Neat. Okay, now, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Well, excuse me, 15. We're done with 14. Joshua chapter 15. We're not going to read all of this, and you'll be glad because if you've read it already, you'll understand why. Because most of it is a lot of details about geographic locations of distributing the land. Let's look at verse 1. Joshua chapter 15, verse 1. Now the lot for the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families, reached the border of Edom, southwest to the wilderness of Zin, and at the extreme south. And then it goes on, and it just will bore you to tears as you read this. But there's a couple of things I want to point out. First of all, in verse 1, I want you to underline or circle the word Lot, L-O-T. The land was distributed to the various tribes by Lot. Now, you know what Lot means. It's, they would have some, I don't think it was dice. They had something, some form to where they would cast lots, and it would tell them who was going to get what. And in this case, it means, this is what I want you to get out of this, is it wasn't the people's decision what inheritance they were going to get. It wasn't up to the people to decide what portion of land was going to be theirs. And that's so important. Can you imagine if God would have said, okay, here's the land. Y'all decide what part's going to be yours. What a bloodbath that'd be. So, first of all, when they're casting lots, of course, nothing happens by chance. There's no such thing as luck. The lots are going to land. They're going to be according to what God wants them to be. This is God directing who is going to get what. And so the people didn't have control over their own inheritance. And that really kept a lot of unpleasantness from happening. It kept peace among the various tribes. There's four C's that could have happened were it different. First of all, there would be contention. You know there would be contention among the tribes. So there was no contention. The second thing is there was no complaining. Well, why did they get peace bigger than mine? Well, they have a better view. Well, they have more water. It goes on and on. Third C is there's no competition. The tribes would be competing among themselves as to who's going to get the best parcel of land. And the fourth C is that there was no confrontations. There was no blood spilt over this, which surely there would be had God done it differently. If anybody didn't like their inheritance, well, they could just take it up with God. Now, I want to stop for us just a moment to think about our inheritance. Now, you've heard from this pulpit several times that you have an inheritance. You have super grace blessings. You have that customized package specifically with your name on it. The only problem is, the jury's still out on as to whether you're going to get that or not. That's the thing. The inheritance is there. But what I want to focus and emphasize today is that God, in His omniscience, in His great knowledge, is so brilliant as to take what we're going to have as an inheritance for all eternity off the table as far as we're concerned. He decides what our inheritance is going to be. Now, some of you might think, well, I don't know whether I like that or not. I mean, all eternity, someone else is going to decide. Well, who is it that's going to decide? You see, a lot of us think that we have more control than we do. We really don't have any control over our lives apart from our volition if we want to grow in grace and knowledge. And excuse me. and look forward to super grace blessings for all eternity, then we have control over that. But what happens to us, even our inheritance, what we're going to have and what we're going to be and where we're going to go, all these things depend upon your decisions that you make now. But God, in His magnificent plan, is already preparing a place for us. Remember that? John chapter 14, remember? I go away to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. Now, this is probably harder for ladies than it is for men. Because, as a rule, men are not as discriminating with regards to where they're going to live as women are. I mean, women can go into a place and, I don't know if I like the color of those drapes. Men don't even notice if there are drapes. So for the women, this might be a little harder because they think, all eternity? What if they have some fuchsia-colored drapes and I have to live with that for all eternity? And by the way, I don't even know what color fuchsia is, but it sounded good. Is it green? No? Oh, well, never mind. I mean, I get into basic colors. When you get into mauve, is that one? Mauve? Okay, well, anyhow. But even you ladies don't have to be concerned because God knows you better than you know you. He knows what is going to float your boat. He knows exactly what is going to make you deliriously happy for all eternity. And we trust Him with that. So we don't have to be worried. But there's a comparison between God choosing what tribe is going to get what land, because He was in control of that, in the same way with regards to our inheritance, which isn't a physical land. Our inheritance is sometimes, in some ways, spiritual in nature, but it's also literal with regards to property that is being prepared for us in heaven at the present time. So I just thought I would throw that out with regards to what we're going to have. You don't have to worry about what it's going to be like. All you have to do is anticipate that it's going to be wonderful beyond description. And the reason it is because God is choosing that. Aren't you glad that God has left, hasn't left for us certain things that we have to choose? So we don't have to go around and waste time and energy and brain cells trying to decide what our eternal inheritance is going to be and what it's going to look like. God's already taken care of that. I'm also very glad that God decides when we're going to die. You have about as much control over when you're going to die as when you were born. How many of you chose when you were going to be born? No hands. Good. That means we're all probably pretty sane here, pretty rational. But how about when you die? How would you like if God says, okay, you've reached 65, you need to start planning. When you going to check out? Maybe He'd give us a guideline. I don't know. Aren't you glad that that's off the table? Of course, I know some people are very stupid, commit suicide, or at least attempt to commit suicide. How many people have tried to commit suicide and wasn't successful? All they did was harm their body some way. Now it's worse than it was before. So anyhow, that's with regards to Lot. Did you circle that word? All that is in that word. God controls it, not us. And I'm so thankful that He does. He does that. Okay, from verses 1 to 12, it gives details on the borders of the land of Judah. And if you look at that, if we kept reading, verse 3, then it proceeded southward to the ascent, and it just goes on and on and on and on for 12 verses. I've said before, it's like going down to the courthouse and reading property descriptions. How would you like to do that? Has any guy ever asked you out on a date and say, hey, let's go to the courthouse and read property descriptions? No, that's not something that we are too fond of, but it is here for a reason. I'm going to give you four reasons why there is so much detail with regards to things that we probably will never read. Most people won't read them, but why are they there? The first one is to demonstrate that God delivers on His promises. Specifically, in detail, He delivers on His promises, and He proves it by this great detail. Second reason, history verifies prophecy. Prophecy is to be interpreted literally, not allegorically. When God said, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, it's not some ethereal kind of Peter Pan make-believe type thing that you don't really, you can't see, you can't see that it's a reality. No, the prophecy, these descriptions prove that prophecy is linked to history. The third reason is that they show us that the arena of conflict in the spiritual realm is not off in some mystical place, but it's inside space and time, history. God doesn't say, I'm going to bless you, and it's some type of mystic thing that you can't get your head around. No, the people walked on the specific ground that God promised them. And so, what it does, the fourth point, is that all the details lend reality to our inheritance. We have a real, literal inheritance. And we can only think, in our very limited capacity, of what it must be like or what it will be like. I know some of you may have done what Carrie and I have done before. Go into some real exclusive area of a bigger city, like in Houston, it's River Oaks. And you drive around River Oaks and you look at these palatial mansions. And you just, it's just pleasing to the eye. And some may be thinking, mine is going to be like that, only bigger, taller. But we really don't know what it's going to be like. I don't think that our mind can grasp the things that God has prepared for us. All we know through the eyes of faith that it's going to be absolutely stupendous. And there's nothing wrong with thinking about that in those terms because our inheritance is real. It is literal. And someday we're going to be enjoying it. That is, those who are going to inherit these things. Unfortunately, most Christians don't know anything about God's Word. They don't care to know. They're too busy with the details of life. And they never think about such things. I think if you really believe that God has gone to prepare a place for us, that there is an inheritance that is designed specifically for each one of us, how can you not wonder and think about it from time to time? And when you do that, it kind of puts the sufferings and the drudgery of this earth in perspective. Because this earth, this time is nearly gone. I don't know how old you are, but it doesn't matter. Your life is nearly over. For teenagers, I know that just bounces off. I'm not even 20 yet. Could be that even your life is nearly over. Could be that God takes you out earlier. It could be that the Lord is going to return. In any case, time is fleeting. Now, another thing I want to point out is the first tribe that is being dealt with to get the land is Judah. And the question is, why Judah? Judah was number 4 in the 12 tribes of Israel. He was number 4. What's so great about number 4? Well, not only did he get the first parcel of land, but he also got the largest portion of land. Now, why is that? And I'll show you as soon as I... There it is. Okay. Well, this isn't as big as I thought it would be, but it still will help you see it. It's going to be easy to find Judah because it's the biggest one. These are the different tribes. They're different colors to show you where their land was. This is the land of Judah. One third of all the land that was given to the 12 tribes was given to Judah. And he was the first one to receive the land. Now, is that just by coincidence, or was there a reason behind it? Well, we'll see. But this is a big portion of land. And also, you have Simeon has this portion of land in the middle of it, and that there's a reason for that as well. So, in order to put this into perspective of why that came about, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 49. We have to go to Genesis chapter 49 to find out why Judah was first and why he got such a big portion of land. You know that your Bible needs to be replaced when pages start falling out on the... Exodus is nearly gone there. Okay, Genesis chapter 49 is going to tell us why Judah was first and why he got the most land. Genesis chapter 49, verse 1. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, "Assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come." Now, Jacob, as most of you know, was also Israel. His name was changed to Israel. And so when we talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, we're talking about the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So you have Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. This was the line of Christ. This was the way blessing was going to come. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He has 12 tribes. And now we are at the point to where he is going to deal with the sons. He's about to die. And he's going to give him their blessing. Verse 2. "Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father." Now, the first one he's going to deal with in verse 3 is Reuben, because Reuben was the firstborn. Normally, the firstborn had a double portion. You would think that Reuben would be the one that has the biggest parcel of land and would be the first one to receive the land because he's firstborn. But he didn't, and this is why. Verse 3, "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power." So far, so good. Verse 4. Uh-oh. "Uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch." What happens, we can tell by other scriptures, that Reuben cohabited with one of his father's concubines, and he forfeited everything, not everything, but a lot because of that. Because he was unstable. He was like water. Water is very unstable. Just change the temperature and you'll see. Verse 5. "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their council. Let not my glory be united with their assembly, because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob." I want you to underline that. "I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Now, I want you to put your thinking caps up. Can you tell me how that was fulfilled? "I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." He's talking about Simeon and Levi. What did we see on the map a moment ago? Where was Simeon? in the middle of Judah. What about Levi? Well, Levi didn't get any land at all, did he? No, because he was the tribe, the priestly tribe. He didn't get any land, and where he was dispersed throughout all of the 12 tribes in order to minister to them. So that's how those two are literally fulfilled. Verse 8, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. See, he's got, Judah was fourth in line. He dealt with first, second, third. Now he's dealing with Judah as number fourth. And it says, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. I want you to underline the word praise or draw a circle around it. And it's really a play on word here because the name Judah means praise. So he's literally saying, Judah, your brothers shall Judah you, shall praise you. Your hand shall be upon the neck of your enemies. What did we learn about that? This is talking about the hand, but what did we learn? We spent some time when Joshua came out, the kings that had hidden in a cave, and he had his officers put their foot on the neck of the enemies. Remember we went into that, even went into the stars and showed how there are constellations depicting that? It's a sign of utter defeat for the enemy. And so it's showing that he is going to be very victorious. Goes on to say, your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. Now, this is saying a lion's whelp is the little lion cubs. And when a lion is laying with his cubs, who is going to go and rouse him? Who is going to go up and want to challenge him? Or who would want to get within 100 yards of that? It's describing how Judah is very special. I want you to put a marker here in verse 9 of Genesis 49. I want you to turn all the way to the back of the Bible to Genesis chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5:5 says, and one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Underlined lion there, talking about the lion, the root of David. So, Judah is known. Each tribe has its own symbol, its own thing, and for Judah, it's the lion. And here you, and what you see here is the great scroll that has the seven seals on it in Revelation. You have John just weeping, and the reason he's weeping is because there's no one who's able to break the seals. It's very important that the seals be broken, because Satan had essentially absconded, had taken the title deed to the earth when Adam had fallen. And in order to set it right, the seven seals have to be broken and judgment come. And no one was able to do it. And this is the information given to John. He says, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, which is praise, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and the seven seals. Isn't that great? Kind of put it in perspective about this lion that comes from Judah. Now back over here to Genesis. We're not done there yet. More information. Verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. First of all, what is the scepter? Well, the scepter is a symbol of a king, is it not? He holds a scepter. And it's talking about the staff from between his feet. Usually kings back then would sit on the throne. They'd have a scepter and they would have a staff that would, I don't know, 6 feet or so maybe. Maybe even bigger. And as they sit on the throne, the end of the staff would be between their feet. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about royalty here. And it says that the scepter shall not depart, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Now, what is Shiloh? There's in the Civil War, there was a battle about Shiloh, wasn't there? And there was a town. Actually, Shiloh was the name of a church. And they had a big battle there. But here, Shiloh it essentially means rest and peace. Shiloh. That makes us think of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What did Christ say? Come unto me, all ye who are weary and labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. That's what Shiloh means. Also, it means peace. Shiloh also, here in the context, refers to a king. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 6, it's talking about the mighty king that is going to come. It's also a designation for Messiah, Shiloh. Rest, peace. Some translations say that Shiloh means the one who brings or until he comes into that which belongs to him, which is peace. Y'all getting this? When Shiloh comes and there's going to be peace is referring to when? The second advent. Shiloh. The Messiah is coming, and no one is going to take the reign away from him, and that is going to be a time of rest and peace. Now, this was written 400 years before Joshua and Caleb, this Genesis here, 800 years before David, King David, and 1,800 years before Christ. And of course, the line of Christ, the right to rule and reign, went through who? Went through David and then to Christ. So this prophecy that we see here in Genesis that is referred to in Joshua with regards to Judah is... there's a lot to it. And again, over and over, if you just slow down and you start connecting the dots in the Bible, all of this is to demonstrate that God is faithful. He does what He says He's going to do. And He's made all these promises to us. And the reason that we can believe those promises is because what we can look back in history and we can see these prophecies made 1,800 years before Christ, what was it? 1,000 years before David, and yet it's absolutely the same throughout. These things came to pass and they are real, so we can believe the promises that are coming to us. Now, we're up to verse 10. Verse 11 and 12 describe the great prosperity the tribe of Judah would have. And let's read that. And this is symbolic, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Verse 11, still talking about Judah. He just had a few lines for Reuben and a few lines for Simeon and Levi, but he's really going into detail here with regards to Judah. And remember, this is Jacob, this is Israel, explaining, giving his blessings and what's going to happen to his different sons. Verse 11, he, that would be Judah, ties his foal to a vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are dull from wine, and his teeth white from milk. All this is in the time of that age describing great prosperity. He's going to have so many vineyards, so many grapes, so many things that he can tie his donkey to them or a foal to the vines. They're all over. It says his robes are washed in the blood of grapes. So much prosperity. And his teeth white from milk. That means that he would have a lot of herds, which was in that culture great prosperity, great wealth. It's talking about how he's going to have all these wonderful things. So what we've been doing is answering the question, why was Judah first? Why did he have the greatest portion of land? And I ask you, who came from the line of Judah? Jesus Christ. Of course Judah would be first. Of course he would. Jesus Christ came from the line of Judah. David came from the line of Judah. And the Bible is explaining to us that when a man would give his offsprings, he would give his sons his blessing, and he would give them their inheritance and so forth, it wasn't an equal thing. It was inheritance was given on the basis of character. And just like we see with Reuben, Reuben forfeited most of his inheritance. The same is true with us. Our inheritance is going to be dispersed, only it's not going to be Jacob or Israel that's dispersing it. It's going to be God. He's going to decide what you're going to have. In fact, he's already decided that. Your package is already ready for you to receive in heaven. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, just think about that. Wouldn't that be a bummer for God to already have the things that are going to make you most deliriously happy for all eternity? But just like he gives inheritance, like Jacob gave inheritance, God gives inheritance. And you can forfeit your inheritance. Oh, you're going to be in heaven, all right. Just like these people were going to be in the land. Reuben was in the land. Did you see how big his land was? Oh, well, he was in the land. Well, if you're a believer, you're going to be in heaven. But don't you think Reuben would have rather had that land that Judah had? Why are we left here anyway? God wants to show us that He's more powerful, that He is more real than your circumstances. And when that is a truism in your own life, when you realize that God is more real than your circumstances, guess what's waiting for you? It's not over here. It's just a little bitty sample of what He's going to do for all eternity. Exodus just fell out of my Bible. Can't have that. Verses 13 through 19. I'd love to go into that. I have to wait 2 weeks. This is one of the areas that is so real. It's so filled with the complexities and the idiosyncrasies of just being human. Those 6 verses, what we have is Judah's going to give away his daughter. But he's going to give it away to someone who is able to take a Canaanite city at this point named Debir. And he says, whoever is the champion that takes over the city of Debir, I'm going to give my daughter to that person. Well, as it turns out, it was Othniel, Othniel. His name means strength comes from God. See, anytime you see a name in the Bible with E-L on the end, E-L is a term for God. So, Mike-El, one as like God. Othniel, my strength is in God. It also happened to be his nephew. It was Caleb's brother's son. And so he offered his daughter, Achsa. Boy, the names back then. A-C-H-N-A-H. He offered his daughter to Othniel if he would take the city. And so he did take the city. And then afterwards, And it was a win-win deal because Caleb was going to receive a city and his daughter was going to receive land. So that means that Othniel received a wife and some land and Caleb received a city. Pretty good deal. But what was so funny is that you have his daughter telling Othniel, now you need to talk to my father and say, but we need a little more land. We don't have enough water on our land and we need the land down here in the springs. And so you go to the next verse and you think that he was going to go to Caleb and, you know, man to man talk to him. When it says the next thing, you know, she leaps down off of her colt and runs to her father and starts asking for this land when she just told her husband, will you do it? And she couldn't wait. She went, anyway, isn't that real? Huh? Guys, isn't that real? I mean, these people in the Bible are not made up characters. It just shows how human these people were. And there's so much for us to learn from these things, but I'm completely out of time. Went past, in fact. I'd like everyone to please bow your heads. This portion of this service is for those who may be here or may be listening on the internet. I've been talking about inheritance. I've been talking about things that are for those in heaven for all eternity. And you may be wondering, well, I don't know even if I'm going to heaven. I don't know if anybody can know for sure. Well, I can tell you upon the authority of the Word of God itself that you can know for sure if you're going to heaven or not, whether you have eternal life or not. It all depends upon your decision regarding Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He went to the cross. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose from the grave and now offers eternal life to anyone who will trust Him and Him alone for it. And in that moment, in the privacy of your own soul, that you recognize that salvation is a gift from God. It can't be earned. Works has nothing to do with it. And you accept it simply by faith. You trust God in what He says. In that moment, you are born again. You have eternal life. You have God's own righteousness. And now, the whole perspective of the rest of your life has changed. Now, it's not just stumbling, bumbling around, confused. Now, you have a purpose. And your purpose is to grow in grace and knowledge. And you, too, can anticipate this great inheritance that is real. Now, Father, we thank You for this time of fellowshipping in the Word. We pray that You will help us to think about these things and not be consumed by the mundane details of this life, this very temporal life. That You'll help us to rise in our thoughts to a higher plane of thinking about You, our inheritance, and be motivated to receive it. For we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.